Next message.
What the hell just happened? I heard a lot of screaming and then nothing. I got hung up on. Give me a call. Bye.
Hi there, and welcome to Something Missing number 3. This is Nicole, and I've just played a message that I've had on my phone for entirely too long. I'm just starting to delete things that I don't know why I held on to. That message is exactly 1 year old. Last year at this time, I was home for the weekend for a party. My friend had just come back from Florida, and her brother had just gotten engaged. And so her parents had a big barbecue. We'd been drinking all day, everyone was having a great time, and at the end of the night, we decided it was a good idea to take the keg out on a boat on the lake. We wound up with, I don't know, probably 40 people or so, none of which were my friends except for my best friend, Em, who I've talked about. It was her keg, and it was her father who threatened that if we did anything to the keg, we were going to have to pay for the deposit. So a whole bunch of us load up on all these random boats, and there's a lake in our neighborhood, and all these people who I barely know, all of which were friends of her brother, pile into these boats, and we go out on the lake, and we had the best time. That was actually the night that it was uncovered that I don't know how to pee outside. I spent the entire night stopping off on different people's lawns and yards and getting out of this boat and taking my pants off, folding them up, putting my shoes underneath, and then going to the bathroom while Em stood a few feet away from me laughing her butt off. After I don't know how many times we'd gone to the bathroom and had a lot of beer because we were in the boat with the keg, I was on the phone with A. At that time, he was in the throes of planning to move toward me in New York. And I kind of use New York and New Jersey interchangeably. I worked in New York. I lived literally like a few blocks away from the Holland Tunnel and spent most of my time in New York, even though I lived in the state of New Jersey. I'm in New Jersey now, not quite near the city. I'm much further away and more of a rural area. So we're back in this boat, and I've got a brand new digital camera in one hand in a Ziploc bag, which thankfully I thought to bring, and my cell phone, and I don't know, my friend was on the phone with A, and basically threatening him that if he ever hurt me again, she'd kill him. And then she goes to give me the phone, and in her very drunken state, tips the whole boat over. My brand new phone went for a swim, and that was the last thing that he heard on the other end from San Francisco, was all this screaming, and then my phone died. It wasn't until about 2 hours later that I got back to the house and was able to explain what had happened. But it's one of those stories that I have such a good time with my friends laughing about, even still, a year later. And I just love that message because it captured that moment in time. And so I got it off my phone, and I'm pasting it here, and that's the end of it. I don't need to be hearing that when I check my messages. So it's actually later in the day. I haven't let much time pass since my last rambling, and I was so unhappy with it that I plan to post this right away, if not just to make up for something that I'm not too happy having out there. I realized a lot listening to myself. I listened to it once, and I think my rule might be not to listen to myself after I do these. Otherwise, it's not going to be so organic, and I might wind up editing myself to the point where I sound ridiculous. When I was in high school, I went on a writing retreat for a summer, and one of the things that we did was wrote our own rejection letter. And I found it to be a really enlightening experience in that adolescent way. You know, when you're young and insecure and you say whatever's on your mind, especially if it's negative, so you can draw attention to it and you think you've gotten it out in the open and you just want people to know that you're aware of whatever this flaw is. I tried to get out of that habit a long time ago, and I actually learned a lot when I did this writing program and we wrote these rejection letters. And I feel a lot like I kind of need to do that and then call it a day with this, otherwise I'm just going to be talking about myself talking, and that's not very fun for anybody. I realized I'm very repetitive. Obviously, I say and way too much. I find that I sound really bossy, and I try not to be very bossy, so that kind of upsets me, and something that I'm learning a lot about myself, and hopefully we'll put the brakes on that. I really hope I don't come off that way in my relationships, and especially in my interviewing right now. I also realize, probably because of my equipment, I'm working on a headset, that I sound very breathy and very wheezy. It was a very hot day out today, and apparently I came off sounding very wheezy. I also feel like I slur, and that I sound really wistful in like a creepy stalkerish way, which, given the fact that I had that voicemail and a number of other things that I keep, I'm kind of a digital pack rat. I keep all of these records of my life. So, with that, I'm going to try to learn how either to edit much better or not edit at all. And I also don't talk all the time about this breakup and this relationship. That's also why I'm doing this. I need to take it out of the arena of when I'm in a social situation. And more than ever, I've held back. I have a hard time talking about it with my friends because it usually winds up like last night where my friend's husband pulled me aside and basically went off about how he done me wrong. He's Southern. And that, you know, he knows he done me wrong and he better not ever see his face again and all these ridiculous things. And I still feel this need to protect him. I still feel this need not to make excuses, but because on so many levels I understand exactly what happened, and I have this ridiculous compassion still. And also, our lives are still so connected. Like I said before, it's in so many things I do, and that's not faded yet. I love Google Calendar. I use it all the time, and I've actually integrated it into so many different things. And our calendars were linked, so I'd be able to view his calendar and he'd be able to view mine side by side, so we could always keep track of each other. And I haven't had the heart yet to permanently shut his off. And so I have a habit of always seeing where he is, and I think that's giving me this anticipation still of that feeling, sometimes wondering when he was going to get home and knowing where he was. And I think on some level, he's still putting things up there to let me know what he's doing. I don't think he's trying to rub it in my face that he is going about this by getting out a lot because it's hard for him to be home and be surrounded by the emptiness of all my things that have left. But I know he's also keeping track of me because he'll ask me at the end of the day how an interview went or if I met with this staffing agency and mentioned that he saw it in the calendar. So sometime soon I'm going to have to let that go. I realize that I'm still living in this unrealistic fantasy. If I could choose, I would be in San Francisco. But I can't right now because I have a lot that I need to deal with. I'm so in debt from this move and from not working for 6 months. And so my fantasy has been that it's not just the little things that he misses, and that it would be big enough for him to make the move here. Of course, I wouldn't want to know about any of this because I wouldn't want to have to deal with getting hopeful and getting let down. And in some sick way, I wouldn't want to have to deal with getting let down or being hopeful for it, and that's why I wouldn't want to know. I would just love for him to appear and say that he's transferred to go back to school here, even though that's not going to happen, because financially, that's why we decided to make it happen in San Francisco. It's so much more expensive to go to school here. California, it's practically free. But of course, you always want to know that you mean enough for somebody to put every other priority by the wayside and be that priority. So I'm hoping in that saying it's an unrealistic fantasy and knowing that it takes time to heal and that it might be okay to have that for now, that that's not going to last too long because I do plan on moving on. This is definitely not my first big relationship. I've actually lived with somebody before, and go figure, it was a long-distance relationship. I always promised myself no more long-distance relationships after that. It was actually very good. It was in college. We lived together for 2 years. And it was a very amicable parting of ways. He actually stayed in Boston for many more years after I did, but we were both in school, and once I graduated, a year after that, I ultimately moved back to the New York area. And that took some time to get over. It was a little bit easier because it was completely on my terms, unlike this, where it seemed to come out of nowhere and everything was very happy, where things in my prior relationship were not happy, and it was a very celebratory thing for it to come to an end. So I just feel like I need to say that, because I feel very much like a little kid and like I'm going on in a way that when I hear other people talk, I want to just kick their ass and bring them back to reality. It's also really hard for me to realize that my self-esteem is something that I have to rebuild. It's something I've always known as important and was always entirely separate and of my own. I never put my happiness on hold for this relationship, and my plan B was always to stay in San Francisco because I was making that choice for my career and for my life and giving it a period of time for the relationship. Because I thought that relationship was going wonderfully and I was the happiest I've ever been, it was quite a blow to have that pulled out from under me. I'm going back and realizing, of course, things I would have done differently. But I'm having a really big struggle right now with regaining my self-esteem and figuring out what I even like to do. I did not expect that. We'd been through things before over the past 2 years, and they were not nearly this devastating, even when I thought things were over. I think, too, it's having to talk about it in such a serious way. I was going on interviews the whole time I was there, and temping mostly, and I also waitressed for a little while. But for 6 months, I would talk about why I quit my job and moved to the West Coast away from my friends and family, and it was always in a very positive light, and I would always be honest and say, I moved here for a relationship. Yes, it's going great. Yes, I plan on staying in San Francisco for the long term. And I wasn't lying. And now when I interview, I have to account for this near 7 month gap in employment. It'll be 7 months in a few days, actually. And I have to not sound like a flake and not like I moved for my boyfriend cross country. So, you know, I have phrased it. I've met with 3 employment agencies and, you know, this one real interview I've been on in the past 2 weeks. And I say that I needed to follow my dream in my heart and give the West Coast a try because my whole family has always lived here. Nobody's really left. And I knew, you know, the time was right, and that if I waited any longer, I was never going to do it. And that I gave it a try, and I missed things so much, and I gave myself a timetable. And after that timetable was up, I had to make the difficult decision to return. And in a lot of ways, that's very true, but I feel like I'm lying. The interview I had on Friday, one of the 4 people I met with was pretty keen. And she said, you know, did you have any friends out there? Were you going out there to be with your friends? And I did have other friends out there. So, you know, I said, of course I had friends out there. I didn't just move out there on my own, but that wasn't enough for me. So I'm telling half-truths, and that's not entirely the way that I am and that I operate. I'm sure in time I'll find the right story and the right way to talk about it, but I haven't really found it. And so I think it's time to play a song. It's called Almost Me, and it's by a band called My Best Fiend. I'll be back on the other side of it.
I never wanted a girlfriend. I never needed someone to break my balls, to make me feel this small. Someone who sleeps with my best friend then tells me how I let her down. You can find another man, one that won't make you mad. You can dress him up in clothes, you know stuff I could wear. You can drag him to the movies, the ones I'd never see. You know that he'll always be. Friends, you only needed someone
Okay, so I'm going to have to make this very quick. My brother, who's also entirely too old to be living at home, has returned from his night out and is in the shower. Once he gets out, if he overhears me, it's all over. I'll never hear the end of it. I did listen back, and there is some moaning that's audible in the background. That's actually my dog. She's a very large yellow lab who's reaching her twilight, and she makes noises usually when she's very content, and she's very happy sitting in here, but I think she's trying to tell me that it's getting a little hot. I turned off the air conditioning to make it a little quieter so I could do this, and I think she's protesting. All right, well, that's about it for me. I am feeling a lot less like I want an asteroid to land on my head today, which I think is a good thing. It's very much the way I've been feeling for the past few weeks. So I hope tomorrow some of this furniture that's cluttering the room that I'll be living in, that I grew up in and had been the office for the years that I was a grown-up, can go elsewhere so I can begin to build a nest that I'll be okay with for the next year or so I'll be here. Thank you so much for listening, and I also realize that I never say my site, which is loveworn.blogspot.com. Right now it's not so spiffy. I actually don't know that I intend to keep this on Blogspot, but for now I found a few little free workarounds where I can host my audio one place, put my blog on Blogger, and have a feed that seems to work. So for now, loveworn, as in past tense, loveworn.blogspot.com. Ciao.